Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our meditation this morning was part of our epistle lesson, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thus far, God's holy word, you may be seated. In the name of Christ, who has called us by his great mercy into the ministry of his gospel, dear fellow redeemed. What would you think of a baseball player who played seven seasons without hitting the ball into fair territory? One of the best players of all time, Mickey Mantle, did the equivalent of that. His walks and strikeouts add up to more than 3,400 trips to the plate, or seven seasons worth. Or what would you think of an inventor who failed hundreds of times in his experiments? Thomas Edison, perhaps the greatest inventor in American history, spent many long months failing before he found a filament that would stay lit in his incandescent light. Whether it be in the life of people that we regard as quite successful, or in the lives of those that seem ordinary, failure always finds its place. No one has gotten to the point that they are without first experiencing some sort of failure. The difference between Mickey Mantle and 90% of people who desire to make baseball their life is their response to that failure. All the greats struck out. All the greats went through periods where they didn't seem to be as great as they were. But that failure did not cause them to lose heart. Instead, they learned from their failures, capitalized on them, and used them to shore up their weaknesses and persevere onwards. Failure loves to define people. And it was no different for the Apostle Paul. If anyone had the right to throw in the towel or to let failure win, it was him. He was beaten, stoned, thrown into prison, lied about, betrayed, disobeyed, shipwrecked, so on and so forth. All throughout his ministry, he was faced with what appeared to be failure after failure after failure. And yet he persevered. Can you imagine the temptations running through his head on a daily basis? Why continue to look after those Corinthians? They clearly want to follow after their own sinful desires rather than the word of God that I preach to them. They aren't worth it. Paul would write three and perhaps even four letters to the congregation at Corinth, both instructing them and chastising them for issues that were arising in their midst. This is a church that he spent over a year and a half with, teaching, strengthening, exhorting them. And they just didn't quite seem to get it. There were abuses of the Lord's Supper, a man who took his father's wife to be his own, rivalries that wanted to go to public court instead of treating each other in Christian love. factions that claim to be more righteous because of who they belong to, whether it be Apollos or Paul or Christ. The very city of Corinth was well known for its moral decay, even among other heathens such as those in Rome. The church at Corinth was not yet ready to detach from the world around them, and they brought the world into their church. A recipe for failure. Would have been natural for Paul to simply let them collapse, let them stew in their love for the world, and chalk up Corinth as a failed mission. I'm sure many of you could identify in a number of ways. You can identify with Paul or even the Corinthian church. I know I certainly can. Failure has wreaked havoc on my life and all of our lives. A curse from living in this sinful world. Have you found failure in your personal life? How to manage being in the world, but not letting the world become a part of you? What about the ministry into which you have been called? You are a part of the priesthood of all believers. Have you let failure take root? If only life would go the way we want it to go. If only everyone could just get along. If only my children would listen more. If only my parents would hear me. If only people just come to church. If only people desire the truth of God's word rather than those greedy prosperity preachers. If only. If only sin were not in the world, all those things would be resolved. And in fact, that is what is coming in heaven. But here and now, we are faced with the failures of our own sinful flesh and the failures wrought by the God of this age, Satan, who is seeking to blind all to the light of the gospel. Discouraged? Losing heart? Understandable. The more that we stop and look at how much sin has infected our lives, the more it is inevitably revealed that we are in no way worthy of this faith, of this church, or this ministry into which God has called us. So many times we have let Satan win. We have succumbed to temptation. We have let anger take root. We have despised this precious gift God has given us in His Son. All for what? Fleeting moments of pleasure. Suppose the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to you as well. What do you think he would say about the failures that you have experienced? Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. He would encourage you the same way God encouraged him and he, the people of Corinth. Whether it be the ministry that we embark on together as members of this church, or whether it is a personal ministry you embark on a daily basis, the encouragement remains the same. Remember what brought you here. A Lutheran theologian, Johann Bengel, once said, "Grace takes away the fault, mercy the misery." God showed you and me a tremendous portion of grace and mercy. First, His mercy was shown when He looked upon our helpless state. He saw all our failures, our wickedness, and the misery of our sinfulness. For God said, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In His compassion, He took away the veil that was covering your eyes and mine, and He shone brightly into our hearts the knowledge of the glory of God, that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. His mercy sent Jesus to take on human flesh and to live that perfect life that you and I could not live. And His grace brought Jesus to the cross, to suffer the punishment that you and I do deserve. And not only did he go through death, but he endured the very punishment that you and I, the very wrath of God that your failures and mine deserved. He took the full force of that wrath. Jesus, the Son of God, gave you his grace by taking care of your faults. Your sins are no more before God for his sake. And Jesus has also given you his mercy by rising from the dead. His resurrection is a guarantee that God's grace covers you. Your sins truly are forgiven. And as Christ rose from the dead, you and I will follow through death into life everlasting. The misery of this earth, the misery of our failures, will all be wiped away. But even now, you have God's mercy. Despite the times that we stumble and fall, God reaches out to you with his forgiveness. He restores you as his child and places you back on the path of righteousness. But most of all, he has entrusted to you the ministry of his gospel. And this is life-changing. It is the one area of life where the success and failure, it is not up to you. You are the messenger, but God is the power. You are the planter, but God is the grower. And that's not to say that you're without responsibility. On the contrary, you have a great responsibility to proclaim the grace and mercy that God has showered on you and its truth and purity to everyone around. To those millions of people who are walking around in blindness right now. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They have been blinded by the God of this world, that is Satan. He is the one who stands in the way of these church halls being filled. He is the one who is the cause of godless churches who feign Christianity that lead people astray. People naturally look for that place that makes them feel good and lets them forget about that guilt that might be on their conscience. But they never receive the healing for that guilt that is found in the gospel of the glory of Christ. God's grace is the only solution to the guilt of mankind. You have the truth, and you have the personal testimony just like the Apostle Paul. Hear his testimony from 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Paul continually went back to the grace of God that called him out of his former life into the life of God's ministry. He recognized his unworthiness and his failures, but even more, he recognized God's mercy in calling him to be the provider of this truth. If it weren't for God, Paul would not be an apostle. He would have been a persecutor of the church. Instead, God used him. to encourage the Gentilic congregations of his day, and even the congregations today, including you and me. The same encouragement Paul found is to be your encouragement as well. Whether it be in our personal lives or in the ministry of this congregation, God calls out to you with his grace and mercy. He assures you that your failures are forgiven for the sake of Jesus. Your work will be blessed by him, even if we may not see the results until God shows us on the last day. I remember one of my first days at seminary when one of my professors said, "Your ministry is to make sure no one can stand across from you on that last day and point to you and say, 'Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you tell me?'" When I tell you that that shook me to my core, I mean it. I was ready to drop out right then and there. No way am I cut out for this. But as the year went along, the beauty of God's ministry was revealed. The ministry that God has called you and me into, it is a blessed one, not a terrifying one. God has already provided for you the message. Sins forgiven for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized for salvation. God has also already provided for you the success. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Do not lose heart. You have the ministry of the gospel. Your life has been changed because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that is with you all. You have received forgiveness for your failures. You have encouragement when you stumble. But most importantly, you have the message that can bring light to all those who are blindly walking in the darkness of unbelief. Take heart. The Lord is on your side. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.